And we're back on the Hunt with Supernatural Season 6, Episode 20, The Man Who Would Be King. I'm Chris Barrows.
And my name's Dan Cummins. Welcome back to the best Supernatural podcast on the air. This is the show where Chris and I rewatch our favorite show, Supernatural. We break down the plot, topics, and themes of each episode, and maybe even dig out details you missed the first time around. Did you say Episode 20, Chris? Are we on Episode 20 already? That is
of Season 6, yes.
Man. Wow.
I mean, we're on our episode, I believe 130 of the podcast, episode 20 of season 6. It's flying through season 6 at this point. And as we've discussed, a season that we came in with probably pre-thoughts and feelings.
For sure.
And I feel like they've been flipped on their head. So I'm really excited as we get to the end here, because we're getting closer to that finale, where I think we're that finale for our season, at least, which is that recap where we're going to be able to break this all down. But wow, it's been fun. And I'm about to talk about The Man Who Would Be King, which aired May 6, 2011. Ben Edlund, first directorial, by the way, for Supernatural. He only does two. And it's an 8.9. And we got another near nine episode according to IMDb. I mean, it's been a season. There's going to be a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. And we're finishing strong here, Chris. This episode, 8.9 out of 10, according to IMDb. That's a high score. Now, we've had some nines, Chris, and we've covered those. And the last nine we covered, you know, we said that's it for nines across season six. This is pretty damn close, though. This is just, you know, a decimal point away from being a nine, of being in that category of what we considered great episodes in season six. This episode today, I think, is a pretty good episode. I have some really just slight issues, Chris. I have to nitpick every episode. That's what we do on this show here. But I think the storytelling device that they used here for Cass, as he kind of goes through it, it's sort of a confession episode, right? I think it was really smart to do that, Chris. And the device that they're using is that Cass is basically, he's asking God for help, right? Cass knows that he was raised after season five swan song. He knows that he was brought back for a reason. He's coming to grips with what that reason is. Castiel is just sort of unsure what he's supposed to do, but he knows he's supposed to do something. And at the heart of this episode, and what makes it work, Chris, is that storytelling device. It is Cass sort of speaking to the camera, if you will, but in theory, he's asking God for help. And it sort of contextualizes Cass, because right now, Chris, up until this point, we don't really know what Castiel has been doing, right? Like, what has been his motivation? He's been sort of shady, as we've called him, right, these last few episodes. Now we get a little bit better understanding that Cass really feels like he is supposed to do something great. He's supposed to do something big after the apocalypse was stopped, but he's struggling with that, right? And in doing so, he's gotten in business with some bad people. And so yeah, this episode for me, Chris, I don't remember it a ton, I'll be totally honest, but I do remember that storytelling device, like Cass sort of speaking to the camera. And I think that goes to show that it was a great choice. There would have been a lot of ways to do this, Chris, for us to learn about Cass and his motive, like what has Cass been up to. But I really think this was the best approach, to have him do the confession in first person. I thought it was really smart.
Yeah, I really dig the methodology of it, just because we did ask that question, really, has this been a rushed story? Right. And this kind of answers some of that question. I don't think it completely solves it, but at the same time, it helps, because it's coming directly from him, and you see that he's even struggling with this. Cass, yes, isn't the bad guy you think he's been, right, in some sense of it, but he's made some bad decisions, and you see his struggles with the decisions he's made when he's, right, talking. And this, we're not going to go every like minute detail of every kind of monologue he gives, for sure, but we're going to hit on these core pieces, which is really that at that start he's praying to God, and he's basically appearing to Dean early on and telling him that Crowley is alive, but he's not telling him the full truth. He's alive. I'm going to find him. Yeah, you're talking to him directly. So he's trying to work around it and do good by the boys as much as possible while still accomplishing his mission. And it's kind of like trying to, you know, you compare it to someone who's trying to date two people. it's not going to last very long. It eventually is going to be uncovered and no one's going to be happy. And in this case, you've got a Crowley and who's not happy and is kind of informed on it to some extent. Right. But you've got Dean and Sam and the rest of a team over on the other end who are starting to do the math, except for Dean, who's just still doesn't want to believe it. Right. So I think there's a nice balance there, but I do like the storytelling methodology that's going on here where you do have him talking. And to me, I like it because it's godlike in the fact that he's telling the story. Right. And it's pushing towards the fact that this is a man who, with everything ongoing, could be God or the new God. And so that makes sense on a whole different level, which is, you know, just general plot line of what way are we going and what is Cass going to be to heaven, to this world, to the boys. So I like it for all those reasons.
Yeah. What Cass has done so far is objectively wrong. Right. And up until this point, you and I have said Cass is doing some really terrible things. The boys are right not to trust him. Right. But when Cass is telling the story, you sympathize with him a little bit, Chris, because when you get his words, when you get his version, you're like, okay, yeah, I could understand why this character would do some of these things. He's got a lot of pressure on him. Heavy lies the crown, right? All of these angels think that Castiel should lead them. And so you start to piece it together. Okay, yeah, Cass did do some bad things. Yes, he is in business with Crowley. He's doing some really, like, you know, terrible, terrible things, really bad decisions. If you didn't have him tell the story, I don't think that would work. You know, I don't think I would feel bad for Cass or understand him if it wasn't him telling the story in his own words. So I think for that reason, this storytelling device really hits. And I think that is why the episode is such a high rating. But to speak more to the plot, Chris, Dean not wanting to believe it, we talk about Dean being burned so many times. And we're on Reddit, we're on Threads, we're on X, formerly Twitter. And, you know, I got to tell you, Chris, like 1 in 10 threads is about Dean being a dick in later seasons, right? Dean is so quick to dismiss people. He doesn't trust anyone. When a new person comes around, he's very cold toward them. Here is another reason why his buddy Castiel, who he went to war with, right? Basically, he was the only angel that Dean could trust. Pretty much the only one he could trust outside of Sam and Bobby and maybe a couple other hunters, right? So for Castiel to lie to his face in this episode and towards the end of the season, the next couple of episodes, you start to understand why Dean becomes that character later on. Dean, however, he holds out hope until like the middle of this episode, Chris, where Bobby and Sam, they are starting to suspect that Cass really is working with Crowley and they're trying to convince Dean. They're like, listen, dude, I don't want to believe it either, but we have to start to question his motives at some point. And Dean's like, you know, I really don't want to do that. But they're like, listen, if Superman has gone rogue, and this is the comparison they use, which I love. I'm a big DC Comics guy, Chris. If Superman's gone rogue, we're going to need some kryptonite. Like we have to, because listen, Castiel's very powerful. Like, yeah, he's our friend, but just like Batman in the comics, your friend could turn at some point. And if your friend is the most powerful thing that you know of, you have to have that in your back pocket. That line is going to go back to hurt Cass later in the episode. But I love that comparison, Chris, because yeah, Castiel is like, he's much more powerful than Crowley at the moment. He's much more powerful than anybody really that they know of. So this is a big dilemma. And for Bobby and Sam to try to get this through Dean's head, you can tell it's a challenge. It's a real struggle because like I said, this is Dean's guy. It's his buddy. They stopped the apocalypse together. You know, this is a big moment that I think I kind of wish it was a bigger deal in this episode, Chris, to be totally honest with you. I wish they showed Dean's struggle just a little bit more because it is such like a big hit, a big blow for Dean, I think.
It's true. And it does impact him in later seasons. We're also, I'm realizing as we're talking about that, how much we've moved on from Soulless Sam already. It feels like it wasn't that long ago that we're talking about Soulless Sam. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that also happened, you know, so trust is not Dean's thing for many reasons, but he's gone from not trusting Sam to trusting Sam again. So So we know we could turn it around. I think there's an optimism there, certainly. Mm-hmm. Sam, probably for the same reasons, having gone through what he did, is like, you know what? Sometimes things happen and we just need to be mindful of, hey, I can't trust this person, even in the sense that he didn't trust himself and Dean didn't trust him, and rightfully so. So a lot goes on in this season. It's really packed when you think about it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I do love that Crowley and Cass are sitting there, and there's like experimentation, by the way, by Crowley on Eve's body. And he's ticked because Eve was supposed to be alive. Eve was not supposed to be dead. And that's the other thing that happens before that. We do get a flashback, however, because we do learn that the angels believe Cass was resurrected by God himself, but he didn't want to take over heaven. So Raphael kind of said, I'm fine, I'm going to lead. And the reason Castiel has to step up really in here is because Raphael wants to restart the apocalypse. Apocalypse, we don't want that happening again. So Castiel has some good in the ultimate decision and why he needs to win.
Right.
What he really needs to do, and this is a problem throughout the series, and I'll joke about this issue later on with Sam and Dean all the time too, probably, but God, I wish they just would talk to each other. Like, here's the deal. Yeah. The apocalypse happening again would not be good. I don't want that to happen. I have to make some unsavory decisions. How would you feel if I did this? Letting you know, is there another way? What can we do? And the boys would be there. Maybe he wants to protect the boys. I don't know how you want to think about it, but ultimately, yeah, he wants to kickstart the apocalypse. And meanwhile, Crowley is going to send demons right after the boys, however. So this relationship of Crowley and Castiel is also falling apart. So Castiel's losing all of his connections right now in a big way.
Yeah. And so to see Cass and Crowley together, you kind of realize like, okay, well, this deal has gone sour, right, Chris? Like, if Crowley is sending demons after the boys who Cass has basically said, don't hurt these guys, right? That's part of the deal. He's breaking that deal. So why is Cass still in business with him? Well, here's the kicker. Castiel has been fronted some souls by Crowley. And this is so Castiel is in Crowley's pocket. That's how I'll put it, Chris. There's a reason that Cass has to play ball with Crowley now. And I think Castiel is starting to realize maybe I shouldn't have gotten into business with this guy. And to your point, if he had asked Sam and Dean earlier, what do you think about this plan? They would have said that. Now, I'll be honest, Chris, if I don't think any plan would have been right with Sam and Dean, right? Like, what could Castiel have proposed that they would have agreed with? I don't know if there is anything, to be quite honest. So I guess point to Castiel there, right? But still, to go into business with Crowley, that's never going to be a good idea, because you know he's going to backstab you in some way, shape, or form, right? So that's the big thing, that Crowley has been servicing Castiel to some extent. And Castiel is going to use those souls, in theory, to overpower Raphael and win the war in heaven. So like we said, Chris, the intention is good. Castiel wants to win the war in heaven because Raphael wants to do another apocalypse, right? That's a good reason for Cass to do something. But it was the execution that went wrong. Castiel's decision on how to beat Raphael was a bad decision. I don't know what else he could have done. And maybe that's the case, Chris. Maybe he has quite literally no other plan. Like, how do you beat him? How do you gain power? That's Castiel's problem. He's not an archangel, right? So how does he become more powerful? Well, apparently if you absorb 50,000 souls or even more, you can maybe get to that level of strength. We're going to find out later that there's a big risk with that plan that maybe Castiel hadn't really considered, but that's for the next episode, Chris.
Yeah, no, Castiel's even more powerful. That advance of 50,000 souls is what really puts him indebted. That's right. One of the biggest problems. But ultimately, Cass does save the boys from these demons. It's a really neat scene too, because you see like the demon Bobby, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
Demon Bobby, it was kind of silly actually in a lot of ways, but I enjoyed it all the same. You get all of a demon who's literally just doing Bobby's job. I mean,
yeah,
that's why it's demon Bobby, as far as I'm concerned. It's not actually Bobby, obviously. So For anyone who's listening and hasn't watched in a while and hasn't actually watched the episode yet, well, no, it's Bob doesn't get to be a demon in this episode, but I did enjoy that. I do love Cass saves him and he gives his card away because he makes the Superman reference.
Right.
And that's when they know he's been listening. Something's up. They end up trapping Castiel in this episode because of this with holy oil. And he reveals key things to them. First and foremost, he's been working with Crowley. And he's the one who resurrected Sam from hell. And that's huge.
Yeah.
He got Sam out of hell. I couldn't get this, you know, the fact that he's admitting these things, which we've had that question, right? That lingering question of who got Sam out of hell. Now we know it wasn't God. It was Castiel. Now, at this point in time, I mean, the boys are pissed because now they know what he wants to do. They know he wants to open up purgatory. And that sounds like a bad idea. And the boys are going to say it straight up. I mean, Dean's going to tell Cass in this episode, I will stop you no matter what it takes. And we are going to see Castiel get angrier and angrier before the end of his season. And you could see what these souls do to him. I mean, it's horrifying and scary in a way that, I mean, we kind of saw with Soulless Sam at times, but in this case, in a powerful angel. So that's the frightening part. It's an already powerful being who's just going to get more and more focused on getting this one thing done. And when you are hyper-focused on something, man, the intensity level that anyone brings, human or angel, in this show, it's a spike, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in it's quite a predicament, I would say. Castiel, you know, he's starting to go dark side, right? I mean, think of any other pop culture movie, TV show, anything. Like once you start to go down that road, it's hard to come back from. And Castiel now is hungry for power. It's for the right reasons right now, because he wants to beat Raphael and bring order to heaven, right? But you're starting to question, well, is that really the motivation? Like, is there something else going on with Cass that is making him want to do this? Like, is he hungry for that power for selfish reasons? Dean now has made it his mission to stop Cass. And that's the last thing you want. The last thing you want is Dean Winchester on your case, Chris. We'll cover more of Castiel in next week's episode. We're going to get even more answers to some of the questions behind Castiel. But yeah, that's really the last big question, Chris, is how did Sam get out of hell? Well, there you go. Castiel was the one that raised him. He didn't get his soul out. Castiel sort of underestimated what it would take to get Sam out completely. But he even confesses he didn't care, really. He just wanted to get Sam out in some capacity and then move on with the rest of his business, right? So I like that we get that reveal. It came pretty late, Chris. I sort of wish we got that a little bit earlier, but to know that it was Cass all along, you can kind of track back the, you know, earlier parts of the season and say, yeah, I guess that does make sense, right? But listen, that's the last big question from the Soulless Sam saga, Chris. As you said, we've moved on now to sort
it's
of
the Castiel saga. Soulless Sam is a wrap, really, at this point. That's what's kind of neat about this. I stand by. I do wish we got more Soulless Sam. I think it was some of Jared's finest acting that I've seen, period, in his career, quite frankly. Yep. I just love him as Soulless Sam. But with that, we now have the boys versus Cass versus
Crowley.
I think it's fair to say Crowley, not Cass and Crowley. I mean, even though, yes, it's still Cass and Crowley, it's not really, because Cass and Crowley aren't on the same page at all.
Right.
Tell of this episode, let's have some fun. Tell of this episode is based on a Sean Connery movie, which is based on the 1888 Rudyard Kipling novel of the same name. So The Man Who Would Be King, you can read it, you can watch it. A lot of different options there. Castiel also has a really great quote in this episode that really showcases how long he's been around. So I'll read this, but or you want to read this actually?
Yeah, sure.
Because this just show, I just find this fascinating, because we're going to hit on this history, I think, later in the show and see, but I don't know that we ever go as far back as this references in terms of Castiel being around.
No, I don't think so. And I like that they included this little passage here, Chris, because it does remind you how old Castiel is. And it kind of, like I said, it puts a little bit of emphasis on, well, maybe Castiel's not all that bad, right? Because he's telling this story. He's telling you that, yeah, like I watched a little gray fish heave itself up on the beach and an older brother saying, don't step on that fish, Cass. Big plans for that fish. So it shows you that Castiel has been around since the beginning of humans, right? So yes, he does have sympathy for them and for the planet and for the boys, right? But then he mentions some other things that he's also been witness to. He remembers the Tower of Babel, all 37 feet of it, which was impressive at the time. He also goes to mention Cain and Abel, which we know we're going to cover later on. He also mentions David and Goliath, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he concludes that passage with saying, you know, all of this just to say that the most remarkable thing I've been a part of are two boys and a drunk stopping the apocalypse, which I love. It sort of concludes, you know, all those beautiful historical moments in time. And he ends it by saying, these ordinary guys, like they are responsible for the biggest moment in history. It's incredible. And he's sort of confessing this to God himself, right? There's one issue I wanted to point out with this sort of monologue, Chris. And like I said, I loved that storytelling device that he's kind of confessing to God. Some of it didn't truly make sense to me. At one point, he's explaining heaven and he's kind of reminding us, the audience, that like heaven is an individual experience and that not everyone's heaven is the same. And he chose like this one guy from, you know, the 50s or whatever. And I'm like, why is he explaining this to God? God invented heaven, right? It's like Castiel wouldn't say this to God, knowing that God created heaven and the concept of heaven. It just struck me kind of, I was a little confused by it. I thought maybe the writers forgot that it was Castiel talking to God. I know I teased that at the beginning of the episode with my issue with that device. I wanted to remind myself to point that out here. It's a very small thing, but I wanted to point it out.
I took it as kind of like in prayer when one, and if you're not one to want to pray, I you know, this may not land, and I haven't, I can't claim I'm the best Catholic myself in my own life. Well, not really a good one at all at the present moment, but I will say that I have prayed before, and I think of it as like in the sense of like with prayer, when you are just kind of saying things just to almost say them, and it doesn't matter that you're talking to God or whomever you may be praying to. It's almost that like
stream of consciousness type of thing. Stream of
consciousness talking to yourself. That's how I took it, as a way to do that, because you can kind of do the, it sounds like rambling, but it's important. Right. It's like talking to psychologists in the same way. Like, here's this thing I'm thinking about, but it may not make sense even to that in terms of a context, but it's something that you need to say or get out. So that's the way I took it, but I understand your thought on that. I just want to note, I love this speech. It's so good. And I want to note, I think it's one of my favorite monologues he ever delivers in this show. Yeah. In the final seasons, he has some really good ones as well. In early seasons, he certainly has some great ones. But I love this one. This is probably in my top five of just Castiel monologue, because it's just so good. So
it
good.
Is. So, yeah, it is.
Kudos right there. But with that, we will continue this story. This is all going to come to a head, and we'll be meeting some folks from Purgatory very, very soon, as in next week.
Yep. And can I just conclude this, Chris, by saying, you know, as Supernatural fans, we stay hip to the news of what's going on. And so I wanted to extend Mark Shepard a quick recovery. You might have seen, Chris, that he had something scary happen to him recently. He's doing well now as of today's recording. So it just kind of reminds you that, you know, these people are humans that have brought us such joy with this show. So wanted to extend well wishes his way. We need him around just in case there's another season of this show, Chris, maybe a short series. That's another thing floating around in the news right now. Maybe a revival. Who knows? But yeah, Mark Shepard, get well. We need you, buddy.
And Misha, I know, reached out to him too, which was really cool. Misha had called him in the hospital. So appropriate that we're talking about this episode, but I do hope he's doing well. It looks like he was doing a lot better when I checked the other day. So glad to hear he's all right. We definitely want to hear from you as well. So feel free to say hi to us, Reddit, Threads, X, wherever you may be. And with that, I will say thank you for listening. That is it for this week, however, but we will be back because after all,
we've got work to do.